Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Good morning, everyone. You probably gather from the wonderful backcloth that Lucy and I are down at Fairfield. It's very nice to be at the church building to lead the service today. It's also driven from the fact that BT still have not fixed any connectivity to our house for the last 2 weeks. So we have no landline, many of you have tried to call us, and no broadband either. So we have to be here, which is lovely. We're going to be looking at this subject of troubles and suffering. And so there's a picture here for any younger ones who are joining us. You may not know who these are, but I wonder if I said to any of you here, what's the catchphrase that you would associate with these two gentlemen, and who are they? Just discuss it if you're with anyone in the room at home. Thank you, Jack. Move us on. Yes, it's Laurel and Hardy. And the catchphrase is, here's another fine mess you've gotten us into. There are some people in life who are just always getting into a mess, aren't they? Always coming into trouble, always make... I've told stories in the past, I won't repeat them again, about our lovely daughter, who's now a very upright headmistress, who was always getting into scrapes as a little girl. And the Psalm 34 that we're looking at today reminds us that some people get into fine messes because of the situation they find themselves in. David was fleeing from someone who was after his life. And some bad things happen, which are nothing to do with things that we've done at all. They're not to do with our lifestyle. They're not to do with anything else. And they come along like coronavirus, or like the terrible situation for maybe two little children born into a Syrian refugee camp. And life seems to bring to them great suffering. What is it that God says to each of these situations, whether we get ourselves into a fine mess, whether it's because of a lifestyle or a situation we find ourselves in, or whether it's because of something like coronavirus or something like the position we find ourselves born into. What does God say in these circumstances? And so I'm going to give you the whole talk. So if you don't want to listen to the rest of the service, let's just look at the next slide and you've got the whole message and you can turn off now. This is what I believe God wants to say to us today from Psalm 34, and also when it's repeated in quite a lot of detail in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3 as well. Trouble and suffering comes to everyone. What we have that's different as Christians is a wonderful God who loves us, who has been with us through suffering himself, is with us in our troubles, and is fully able to rescue and to redeem us. So let us trust him, praise him, and live our lives for him. That's today's message.
We're going to have another reading now. Two sections that are both taken from Peter's first letter. So firstly, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm starting at verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. But when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And now from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love his life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And now Chris will continue.
Shall we just ask God to bless this time of thinking about his word? Lord God, thank you that you are with us as we meet together over Zoom. Thank you, Lord, that in each household that's connected to this, we are also, and far more importantly, connected to you. And we pray that by your spirit, you will speak to each one of us this morning. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the message for today. Troubles and suffering come to everyone. We have a wonderful God who loves us, has been through suffering himself, is with us in our troubles, and who is fully able to redeem and rescue us. So let us trust him, praise him, and live our lives for him. Troubles and suffering comes to everyone. Well, that's what the psalm says. It says a righteous man may have many troubles. Now, let's not worry too much yet about whether we're righteous or unrighteous. I think all of us know we're unrighteous, but if we know Jesus, we can be made righteous. But the gist of this is actually speaking into one of the big questions that has bothered people through the ages. In fact, when I was at LST, and for those who joke about it, I did do 1 year there. When I was there, I remember Peter Cotterill saying the only thing that every religion has in common is it tries to answer the question of suffering. Why do good people suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? And interestingly, later this autumn term, we're going to give 5 weeks to actually looking at this and thinking it through in a lot more detail. But as I looked at Psalm 34 and thought about it, I thought, yes, it would be good for me to actually use this subject today, because I know of many people at the moment, perhaps some of you attached to this call, who are going through times of real suffering or trouble and asking, why, Lord, why? And this may not answer the why question, but it may point to how God works with us in these situations. So suffering, why does suffering come at all? Well, suffering certainly comes as us being part of being human. Suffering is part of humanity. Since the beginning of time, Genesis tells us, when God created the heavens and the earth and they were very good, then very shortly after that, mankind rebels against God. And however you interpret those early chapters of Genesis, this surely is the irrefutable, the key statement. Cursed the ground, painful is our toil, pain comes in childbirth, illness, death have come to mankind. Suffering, very sadly, is just part of being human. Suffering comes because of our humanity. Suffering also comes because of our stupidity. I've told the story before of how I set fire to myself by throwing petrol onto a fire, and all the fumes set fire up my arm and burned and singed the front of my beard and so on. How stupid can you get? Proverbs 27 says this, the wise see danger and take refuge, but the stupid keep going and suffer for it. Sometimes our suffering is because of our stupidity. Sometimes it's because of our iniquity, our sin, that we fall into evil. Psalm 34:21 tells us evil will slay the wicked. And we know that sometimes the suffering has come about as a direct result of us doing things that we knew were not of God, that they were wrong. And sometimes, as the 1 Peter passages tell us, suffering will come because of our Christianity. In some parts of the world, that is really strong. It is through persecution. If you're a Christian, that's enough for you to be a target for attack, for violence, for pressure, for threat, for imprisonment, perhaps even for death. But sometimes in our context, and thank God so far in the UK, mostly it's going to be that if we stand for truth on something, or if we speak into a situation what we believe to be the right way of living, yet we might get a backlash and suffering can come. And so the reality is, we know whether it's illness, whether it's long-term conditions like dementia or autism, whether it is through damage done to our bodies, through addictions, whatever it is, a righteous man may have many troubles. We're all on the same page on this. Every one of us knows what it is to a little or a larger extent to suffer. If we move on to look at what David's situation was, that title at the top of the psalm tells us something. A psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. It's worth reading Psalm 56, perhaps after this, because Psalm 56 comes before Psalm 34 in this story. They've both got a heading that's similar. David was expecting to become king, yet there was a king, Saul, and he had to flee from Saul. And you can read the stories in 1 Samuel 21. And David finds himself with not many friends, having to go to the enemy side of the battle lines, if you like. And at first he gets away with it for a bit, and then they realize who he is. And so to escape, he plays being mad until the king says, get this guy out of here. What do I want with him? This must have been one of the real low points of David's life, somewhere where he had the promises of God, yet he could not see them being fulfilled. And Psalm 56 tells us what he was saying in that context. And then Psalm 34 is written shortly after he has escaped, shortly after he is back on his own, not under the threat of Abimelech, the Philistine king. And so he starts again to give praise to God for that rescue. This psalm, therefore, and if we can look at the next slide, this psalm, therefore, is a psalm that speaks to the victim. Although it's full of praise to God, it's all about someone who is suffering. It's all about someone who is going through it. Look at the words in the psalm. If you've got the psalm open, have a look. Acting insane. Verse 2, afflicted. Verse 4, a man with fears. Verse 5, a man with shame. A poor man. Someone in troubles. Verse 6, 17, 19. Brokenhearted and crushed in verse 18. And I read this as I was looking at this psalm. One of the commentators said this: Yahweh God's solidarity is not with the ones that go from success to success, but with the ones denied success, with the victims. And so if you are feeling under the pressure, whether it's fears, whether it's shame, whether you are poor, whether you're in trouble, whether you're brokenhearted, whether you're afflicted and in illness, yet this is a psalm for you, because God stands in solidarity with you, because you are at this time someone for whom you're not rejoicing about how well the world's going, but you're recognizing your frailty. And of course, as we move on, we can see also reflected in 1 Peter as well, and especially the verse 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, where, if you can go to the next slide, Jack, it says, he himself, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross, on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Psalm 34, verse 20 is a prophecy about the cross. It says none of his bones will be broken. And no, go back, Jack, sorry, please. Thank you. I'm talking on this one for a bit now, so I'll tell you when to move on. Thank you. Verse 20 is a prophecy about the cross, and John 19 tells us that Jesus' legs were not broken on the cross, which was the usual habit of the Roman soldiers in those days. And what this psalm tells us is that God is the God who can redeem, who can rescue, who can deliver, who can save. He has suffered, and he is fully able to save and redeem us from our sin and from our suffering. But I want us to think a little bit more about what this actually means. How does God do this redeeming? How does he do it? Well, the clue is in this word: he himself bore our sins. And I'm going to talk a little bit more after another song. I'm going to share a testimony, particularly talking about the damage that is done to us and the wounds that can be healed. But I want to focus at this point on what it means that he bore our sins. He took the punishment that was due us. There are reasons we suffer, some of which are to do to stuff that we do deliberately in rebellion against God or inadvertently breaking God's law. And he died, the Lord Jesus died, in our place. They said, 1 Peter 3 said this: Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. We can come to God because Jesus died in our place. But not only did he atone for our sins, but on the cross we see him taking the stigma, the shame, the guilt so that we can be declared as right, free, forgiven, cleansed. We can pray to one who suffered and went through that awful experience, and so he also sympathizes with our sufferings, yet without ever sinning. And his wounds do heal us, because as we look at the cross, whatever the damage in our lives, whatever the sins, we can see how he has taken our place. Consider perhaps sexual sin. Usually pictures of Jesus on the cross or crucifixes will show a piece of cloth draped across Jesus' genitals. But actually, crucifixion was all about total humiliation of the victims. And so Jesus would have hung naked there. So that as we have sexual sins, or perhaps as sexual abuse has been done to us, we can actually see the sinless Saviour bearing this on our behalf. Or consider unfairness, injustice, that gnawing, crying out, why is this happening to me? It isn't fair. Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head. He had a truthful statement put up as mockery above him. This is the King of the Jews. He had a fixed trial with false accusations, and a sinless Saviour was sentenced to death unjustly, without anyone standing for his support. If you're crying out about injustice today, look to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, you know what I'm feeling. You know what I went through. Thank you that on the cross you atoned even for injustice. Whatever the sin, whatever the damage, we can come to the cross because he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. By his wounds, we have been healed. And he did this so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Next slide, please, Jack. So we are righteous only through what Jesus did. But it is the righteous and not the evil that will live. And the Psalm 34 encourages us. We are to seek the Lord, verse 4 and 10. We are to fear the Lord. Verse 7, 9, and 11, fear the Lord, and we can take refuge in him. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter uses this psalm to remind them again that we need to keep our tongues from evil. We need to turn from evil and do good. We need to seek peace. It was interesting, we had our MLT away day last Friday, and Chris Wiggum was talking about how, as he read the scriptures time and time again, he was seeing the contrast between good and evil. And it's very, very clear. And we are to turn from evil and to do good. And we can only do this because of what Jesus has done. But he died to bear our sins, to make us righteous with God, to make it possible for us to come to God, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And those last verses tell us that we can take refuge in him. He offers to those who come to Jesus his redemption, not condemnation. And that is the good news, that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. By his wounds, we are healed, we are saved, we are forgiven, we are freed. And so we are called to praise the Lord at all times. His praise should continually be in our mouths. And so now we're going to choose to worship. Worship meaning to serve and to obey. I want to share now a word of testimony, really. We've been talking about when God is good when life is not. And we've also talking about the fact that we suffer for different reasons. And one of those is sin, and there are consequences to sin. God forgives us and cleanses us and gives us a new start. But there may still be collateral damage from our sin that goes on for a short time or perhaps even for the rest of our lives. Sometimes our sin might be from the outcome of a very bad situation. There are not there are maybe reasons that cause people to sin. Sometimes damage done to us in the past leads to habits that cause damage to other people in the future. I mean, think about even David's situation. Presumably, when he feigned madness, he was lying and deceiving the king. That's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Now, we know God had plans for David's life. Perhaps there was a more God-honoring way for David to have got out of the situation he found himself in. We're not told. The Bible just recognizes that mankind, humans, are as we are. David got himself into a situation, and through lying and deceiving, he got out of it. And God looked after him through that, despite the sin. And David praises God now that he is safe. But sometimes it can seem as though no one has sinned, and yet troubles and suffering come. Again, thinking about the situation of those who perhaps have been hit by COVID-19, or again, those Syrian refugee children. And sometimes this damage can have a long-lasting effect on us. The words of the psalm are so powerful. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. About 20 years ago or so, Lucy and I in our marriage were under quite a lot of strain. And I went away on a one-week retreat with a group called Wholeness Through Christ. And on that time, I won't explain how it all happened, but for one period of several hours, three or four wise people spent time just praying with me over a number of things. And what happened was a prophetic revealing of something about myself that I did not fully appreciate. Sounds a bit boastful here. I probably come across as maybe a warm and empathetic person. And yet now even, but certainly 20 years ago, I often struggled in handling negative emotions. So positive emotions, I was fine, but negative emotions, I would get very, very tense and then perhaps explode in anger. And so I would suppress those negative emotions, and then they would explode out. And this was very, very dangerous, not good for anyone. And it was sin. It was wrong. In this prophetic prayer for me with the laying on of hands, something was brought to my mind that really was significant. I am a very, very fortunate person. I'm the first child of loving parents, loving Christian parents who cared for me and looked after me. But 3 years after I was born, my younger brother was born. Also a lovely guy, nothing against my brother. And he was absolutely wonderful. But 6 months into his life, he was very, very ill almost to death. And my mother spent many months, perhaps almost about a year, looking after him, but a lot of the time spent at Great Ormond Street Hospital. And during that time, of course, everyone tried their best to look after me. And I was told, be a good boy. Mummy's looking after Johnny, who's very sick. Be a good boy. And so I learned to hold in those negative feelings, perhaps that feeling that I'd always had my mum's attention and now she wasn't there because she was looking after Johnny. And I suppressed it and I suppressed it. And somehow or other, that had caused in my temperament this great danger of very, very bad tempers and great danger of not handling well the problems that came from any negative situation. And this was prophetically revealed, and then prophetically revealed too, that by his wounds, I could be healed. Now, that's not to say that I'm not still struggling in this space, but I'll share a bit more about that. There's a passage in John chapter 9, where the disciples say to Jesus, they say, that blind man there, was it his parents' sin or his sin that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. The damage that happened to me happened as a result of the fallenness of humanity. But if you think about it, my brother didn't sin by being ill. My parents didn't sin by looking after my brother who was close to death. I didn't sin by trying to bottle up my feelings of abandonment and rejection and be a good boy. Yet damage occurred. And I want to just share this because so often, as I did, I think hopefully in the first part of this service, it is right to say to anyone and everyone, God bore our sins. He wants to forgive us. And that's right. And that's absolutely what the atonement of Jesus was about, to make fallen humanity, the unrighteous, to make us righteous in God's eyes. But God also, through the cross, wants to bring healing through his wounds to our wounds. Those areas of our lives which have been damaged as fallout, as collateral damage, as a result of sin. And so the fact was that as I began to realize that because I couldn't handle negative emotions, well, I suppressed them and then I got very angry, I also began to see that by the wounds of Jesus on the cross, he wanted to heal in that space. He wanted to help me. And that's an ongoing battle. It continues. But he wants to heal us and to bring wholeness to us, even in this life, for those things which damage us and bring us down. The act of atonement at the cross was God himself doing everything that was needed, both to deal with our sins and to heal and redeem our lives from the damage sin does to us. The damage that might remain as scars for the rest of our lives, but yet we are promised in that wonderful revelation promise that when we are with him forever, there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more illness, no more tears, no more death, because the Lord our God will be with us. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. We're going to spend a few moments in silence now, and then I will pray, and then we'll have our closing song. I'm going to ask Jack to put up the last slide, the summary slide again, if you could, Jack, of the talk today. And what I want to do in this prayer, I want you just to sit before God. If you are not a Christian, please come before him and receive his forgiveness, because he promises to forgive all. And Jesus' death on the cross was for every one of us, that we might be made right with God. But it might also be that you are someone where there is some suffering or damage and you are struggling with it right now. You just don't know why it's going on. Perhaps you're angry with God. Perhaps you are despairing. Bring that before him. Just tell him exactly how you are and what you feel. But look at him as you do it and ask him to be with you in your troubles. Recognize he understands your suffering. Ask him to rescue and redeem you. And if perhaps there are things in your life which you know are collateral damage, abuses in the past that are hitting you today, bring those two to the cross and ask him by his wounds to heal you. Let's pray. We'll start with a time of silence, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. Lord, you are good when life is not. Lord, you are with us in whatever situation we find ourselves. Lord Jesus, you understand and sympathize and empathize with our sufferings. And Lord Jesus, by your wounds, you can heal us. By your death on the cross, you bring us cleansing, forgiveness, freedom. You make us right with our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. We do praise you now. We worship you because you are the God who redeems. You are the God who rescues and saves. There is no condemnation at the cross. Every one of us is on the same footing, that we are broken sinners with that wonderful offer of forgiveness and reconciliation and adoption into the family of God. Holy Spirit, please shine your discerning light into our hearts this morning and help us to bring to your cross anything that is causing us trouble or suffering. And stay there a bit with you at that situation, we pray, asking for your touch today. Amen. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ, after we have suffered a little while, he will himself restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.